One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's two reasons why you're listening to this today. One, you know me and support me. Two, you're a nosy old shy. Either way, I'm happy to have you. You're listening to episode 7 of the Unedited Podcast.
You think you can handle it? Do you think you could? Do you think you could handle it? Do you think you could?
So today I am very, very excited to be back. And this time I'm back with somebody who I actually originally wanted to talk to when I decided to set out this podcast. So for those of you that do not know, I have a small business in Finglas Village. I do eyebrows and many different beauty treatments. And it's the communication and the relationships that I build with people that I love the most about my job. And I learned so much about them. And this particular lady is a client of mine. And I learned a little bit about her. And I just loved her attitude and her energy. And I just think she's an absolute force. So I wanted to share her with you today. So very welcome, Claire.
Hiya, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, and I'm absolutely delighted to have you here. One of the first reasons that I was kind of blown away from you was, one, when I found out that you had so many children, and then all what you were doing with your life. But then it just got even more interesting and better for me, because it was your attitude in your life that I loved the most. So just explain to people what your day job is, your extracurricular activities, and then a little bit about your personally.
Yeah, so I'm Claire Carey, and I'm from Ballymun. I manage a youth project up in Ballymun, and I have 5 children at home, and I also own a business, a baby accessories and gifts business called Nancy Lee's.
Now, see, yeah. Take that all in. So basically, I think probably I'm guilty of it as well. And one of the first questions I asked you, I think, and I'm sure many people do, is how do you do it all? But the question I want to ask you today is how you feel when people ask you, how do you do it all?
Yeah, I suppose you just kind of take it in your stride. Like, you know, when people say that to you, you're always like, you know yourself. You just manage it. You figure it out. And that is, like, a lot of the week or the days are just trying to figure it out and just trying to put a shape on the day or the week and, you know, plan ahead. But I try not to plan too far ahead, because I find that kind of makes me a bit anxious and stuff like that. So I try and take, as the years have gone on, I've kind of learned to try and take things in my stride and kind of run with things. Now, obviously, with the amount of kids in the house, I have to be a bit organised, you know.
Yeah, but also flexible, because they're so unpredictable.
Things change like daily, especially like if when the kids are sick or something like that.
Yeah.
And then my job, like in Ballymun, is like, it's full on. I absolutely love it. I love Ballymun. I love the people in Ballymun. I love the young people in Ballymun. And they know I love them.
And what sort of hours do you work in that role?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. It can be very unpredictable as well. It can be long hours. Yeah. So I would go in the mornings when two of the smallest kids, two of the girls are in creche and the rest are in school. And then I'll probably take the afternoon off as much as I can. And then I'll go back in the evening when my partner John comes in from work. And I could be out till 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
That's usually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then the rest of the week, I'll try to finish up a little bit earlier and stuff like that. But you never know. You could get a call. I work with a lot of young people in particular that we're calling them kind of the hard to reach young people. So they're basically young people that don't really engage in other services in Ballymun, but they come to our project. So I'd work very closely with those young people, especially the lads or the young women and stuff like that. And so you could get a call morning, noon and night for different reasons. There could be something going on, or they need a bit of support, or, you know, they're trying to find housing, or they need a passport. They're usually the things they ring me for, do you know what I mean? Or they're trying to get a job, need help with a CV and stuff. So you're kind of on the clock Monday to Friday anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they do know I take the weekends off. So sometimes you might hear from someone if it's an emergency or something like that. But most of the time they know I'm off the clock at the weekends and they don't contact me. But
like, so you kind of have this like emotional responsibility to like more than five kids, really. Like you have a whole community of kids that you're looking after. That's heavy.
Yeah, it can get very heavy at times. Like, and you have to kind of look after yourself in the work as well, I find. You know, like you have to mind yourself. It can get very heavy. And there's a lot of young people like in Ballymun that just have a lot going on for them.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're taking on, as you said, you're taking on all their emotions all the time. And I think if you don't do that, like it's hard to be good at that type of work if you're not that type of person.
Yeah.
But you also have to look after yourself and look after your own kids. Like there was stuff going on there a few weeks ago in Ballymun, and there was a lot of serious stuff going on with gangs, and, you know, there was guns getting produced, and there was, you know, it was getting quite dangerous.
Yeah.
And my own partner, John, said to me, you know, Claire, like, you have to think, you have your own kids at home that you need to go home to. You need to be safe, and you need. And I had to kind of take a little step back and say, right, that's okay. I can't drive into that area for a while, or I can't have that young person.
Yeah.
Because I drive a minibus for work.
I can't have,
for my own kids. I can't have certain young people in the minibus for a while until this dies down.
Yeah.
You know, because I have to go home and be well, emotionally well, mentally well.
Yeah. And physically, you have
physically
to protect yourself
for my own kids, like as well. So
definitely,
yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, that you do that type of work? How did you get into it originally?
Well, like, I suppose I was always like a jack of all trades, a master of none. I kind of done a bit of everything as the years went on. Like, I left school and I had my eldest son, Aaron. Went just as I was doing my leaving cert. And when I was in school, I wanted to be a barrister. Like, I was very confident and there's big dreams, you know. I was going to be a barrister and everything. So when I had Aaron, people assumed, oh, there she is, working class young one, has a child.
Yeah.
You know, forget about being a barrister. So I was like, no, this is not going to happen. So off I went and I said, right, I'll do business studies because that's a foot into law, you know. And I went off to DIT on Angel Street, did business studies. And I hated it.
Right.
I absolutely hated it. My friend, one of my best friends still, he was in DBS across the road. And we used to spend most of the day just bunking off college.
Right.
And anyway, so that didn't really last. Now, it was killing me to leave because I knew people would think, oh, there you go now. She's going to leave. She'd be like everybody else. She'd leave college and whatever. So I had to kind of regroup and think, what am I going to do? My brother at the time, he was a big supporter of me, and he encouraged me to kind of go to the job centre and get career guidance and see what I was good at. So they were saying, you're good at art and you're a creative thinker and stuff like that. So off I went then, done a portfolio in art and design for a year. And from there, I went on, done my degree in interior and furniture design.
Right.
So I suppose that kind of links in with the business, with the design element of it. But I was always big into art and creativeness and design and stuff like that. But when I was finishing up the degree the year before, I had my second son, Nathan. And
how old were you at this stage?
How old was I then? Was it 25 or 26 or something when I finished the degree?
Yeah.
So, or maybe it was a bit, maybe it was 27. But finished the degree 2008, 2009, I think it was. And of course, smack bang in the middle of a recession. So there was no work.
Yeah.
So I had to think, now, how am I going to recreate myself again? Like, you know, what am I going to do? Right. So off I went and thought, I'm going to be an art teacher. So I started volunteering in the local youth reach and down in my old school in Margaret Awoods doing art teaching. And I'd done that for about 6 months, thought I'm going to be an art teacher. Went for the art teaching course in NCAD and I didn't get in. And I was absolutely devastated. I was like, what am I going to do? But anyway, during my time working in youth reach, I absolutely just fell in love with those type of young people, those kids. Like, I still see some of them today. That was like, Jesus, 2009. And I still see them and they chat away to me and everything. But there was just something about them.
But you know what? I just have to stop you there. There was obviously something about you, because like you have two sons at this stage. You're 27. You're from Ballymun originally.
Yeah.
So like, it, you know, majority of people coming from a disadvantaged area wouldn't really have many supports available to them. So like you said your brother was a great support to you. So your family life, was that like where you're from, like a good supportive kind of solid home that gave you that kind of like, for, you know, that foundation really?
Yeah. Well, I suppose there's a couple of things you've mentioned there. One would be my brother. But unfortunately in 2008, the same year that kind of was leaving college, same year I had my son, actually my second son, my brother died at 21 in the February, and my son Nathan was born in the October.
Right.
So with all this kind of going on, now that was absolutely devastating. Like 21, my best friend, such a supporter, such a, like, so he was brilliant. Like to me, he was just, he was my best friend. But he was what, like, I would class as a typical Ballymun lad.
Right.
You know, he was in trouble. He dropped out of school. He was out with the lads on the blocks. He started robbing cars and all. And he just kind of went down that road. But as you said about the family part of it, the support of family, I was thinking about this today. And, like, we weren't that type of family. I didn't think... the type of family we would say, I don't know if this is something that you say in town, but we'd kind of say that we were ghetto snobs. Is that a phrase?
Oh, right. No, I've never heard about it. I know exactly what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
But my nanny just used to call me in. She'd say, it'd be like, say, for example, if everyone used to go out on a Saturday night after their bath with wet hair and pajamas, and I'd be like, please let me go out. And she'd call me into the hall and she'd say to me, you're not like everybody else. And I'd be like, she's a snob. I am like everyone, you know. But in actual fact, I wasn't. You know, I just wasn't.
You know,
there's just some, I think sometimes, like, depending on your family unit or if you're from a certain place or whatever, there's always a couple of people that are just kind of reaching that little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose it's just a natural drive. But when you're talking to me, I kind of definitely picked up on the fact that you might have been one of them. A ghetto snob.
Ghetto snob. Well, I do class it as what my nana has is she always has Kerry Gold butter.
Right.
In our butter dish.
Right.
And a spare block in our fridge.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a ghetto snob, you know. You
go well.
You know, your socks are always snow white.
Yeah.
Your Kerrygold is in your fridge. You're made. But we were like, you know, we weren't a family that was like, there was no drugs, there was no drinkers, there was, you know, we were just a normal family. My ma looked after our house like something fierce, do you know what I mean? To me, we were just a normal family. But looking back now, because I work with lads who would have been like me, brother Sean, looking back, our dad died when I was 11. So I just feel like my brother, like I get that sense from lads now where they're reaching, they're looking for something, you know, they're looking up to the older fella who sells drugs on the corner or whatever the case may be. And I just found that that was like my brother. He always looked up to the older lads. He wanted to be liked. He wanted to be like them. Right. And I think he was always just looking for something. And then, I don't know.
I think in a way, it can be kind of circumstantial too. Like, I remember being a kid and there's definitely elements of my childhood where I would have looked at people that were, you know, like, you know, carrying on barbers or whatever. And I definitely did get involved. But I remember there was one girl who used to come into the flats all the time. She'd moved out, she bought a house, and she got married and she had a car. And when she'd come in, it'd always be like, oh, Pamela bought a house. Oh, Pamela bought a car. And I remember them kind of talking about her nearly, like, who she thinks she is sort of thing, you know? Like, I'm supposed, like, you know, when you're just doing what you can, you're doing your best and you're trying to provide for your kids, and the young one that used to live in the flats is coming in after buying, you know, it's a bit kind of like, I don't know, off-putting for the women or whatever.
Yeah.
But I used to be there going, I'm going to be like Pamela. You know, like, yeah. I was like, I am going to be like Pamela.
Yeah.
But then there was elements through my teenage years where I'd go off and be wanting to be like somebody else and all, you know. So, but then luckily, as I got older, I met certain friends and my now husband, and all them influences and stuff kind of guided me to where I am now.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Suppose you just kind of, you have it in you, but then you fall into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Not to me, yeah.
Like, I feel the life I'm in now, I was always going to be there.
Yeah.
But there was definitely a stage in my teenage years that I could have went either way.
I feel like as well, like, coming from a disadvantaged area or working class community and being a woman, like, even just being a woman, but then being a woman from a disadvantaged community, like, it's so hard. Yeah. And I see it with the young women that I work with in the project, like, There's so much pressure on them all the time. It's nearly like there's a push for them to fail.
Yeah.
You know, that kid that wanted to be a vet when they were in school and now they work in the local spa. Or do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's always that. And I don't know whether it's a self-sabotage, whether it's circumstances. I actually feel it's confidence a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've had them struggles, as I said, when I went to DIT to do business, I thought, I don't fit in here. This is just, you know, like, I was the only person from Ballymun, I'd say, in the whole college. Now, that was in the year 2000.
Yeah.
And I'd say I was the only person from the north side in my class. Mm. So I just, you know, that was the first time in my life where I started to doubt myself. Before that, like, anyone who would have known me from school, I was very confident, you know, and I was very sure of what I was going
to
do.
And look, when you're in a situation like that, like, if I'm even reflecting back on them teenage years, you're absolutely right, because, I started to strive to be like other people that weren't doing as well, but it was easier to do that, because it's more difficult to be like, well, no, I'm going to be different and I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, to stand up there and be the individual that's, you nearly laughed at.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. Mm. And I always, like, admire people, like, you know, get into music or acting or those sorts of things, because, geez, a lot of that stuff in the community would be like, to see your one or your man, they think they're great.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very rare that people like that are supported within the community. Like, it's nearly that, as you said, oh, you're one, you bought the house. Like, it's...
Yeah, and it's like, it's refreshing to hear you say that, actually, because sometimes I feel there's, you know, you don't want to come off like you're offending your community or where you've come from.
Yeah.
But in a way, like, a lot of people within certain areas can become sort of like institutionalized within that way of life.
Yeah.
So nearly when they do make it, they're kind of going like, you know, I'm proud of where I come from and da-da-da-da, but they never actually do speak about the negative effects of the mentality of the people in that area.
Yeah.
You know, nearly our fear again of what people are going to think of them.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a conversation where you're in any way, you know, want to offend anybody
or,
you know, but I do feel like people are nearly afraid to touch on that subject of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I probably wouldn't even still think about it as much, only the fact that I still see it with the young women in the project. Like, it's, you know, it kills me. You know, they get to an age and they just nearly think, well, what else am I going to do? I think I'll have a baby. Or, and come here, it happens, do you know, and it's not the end of the world.
Mm.
But for that young person who wanted to own their own business or they wanted to,
well, come here, you
know, and of course they can
difficult.
Still do those things, you know.
Well, of course they can still do them things. And that's, I think, the whole point of us sitting down and having them this conversation is letting people know that you can do them. But when you come from areas where we come from, you're dealing with things a lot earlier on than what you really should. Or you're experiencing things that some people never experience. Like, you might have drugs in the home, or, you know, you've lost your brother very young. And obviously that can happen loads of times. But it's more common within those areas.
Exactly.
For these things to happen. And, yeah. You know, because, like, I mean, I'm 31, and for the level of trauma I've experienced, I'm bleeding sitting down doing a podcast. Do you know, like, it can be really, really heavy.
Yeah.
So it makes it harder to push forward and to reach for them things and to try and instill that confidence in yourself.
Definitely.
So what does the project do to try and get the girls going?
Yeah, well, different things. Like, we run different groups. I had set up a young women's mental health group.
Right.
But I had to take the words, it was funny, I had to take the words mental health out of it because they didn't want to come. But they came to all their other groups.
Yeah,
they were coming to their group on a Monday and a Friday, but they wouldn't come to Tuesday because that was about mental health. And I was laughing because I was saying,
such a rename.
I just a young women's group.
Right.
Took mental health out of it.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, we were talking about the same things all the time. I just thought we'd have a focus on a particular day, but that wasn't really working. But it's about the conversations, you know what I mean? You're always pushing them and probing them and trying to build their confidence. And
it's another thing of, like, women like that, like, they need to feel like, because I know, even being one, that you need to feel like you have your shit together, you know, like, because you're dealing with a lot of stuff. So to even go into a women's mental health group is kind of admitting a vulnerability as well. You know, you're kind of going in there and going, actually, do you know, I'm not okay with all of this.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in actual fact, you're walking around saying, yeah, I can handle it.
Yeah, exactly. And some of them, like, they've had so many traumas, do you know, as we've just said, like, we've experienced traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some, they're a lot younger than us, but yeah, the trauma that they've experienced, you're like, oh, it's not right. It's not right at that young age to have put up with some of the things they've had to deal with. So
it's not, I never look back. Luckily, like, you know, so many highs in my life, great family and, you know, and yeah, I have experienced certain levels of traumas and stuff like that. But I love all the in-between stuff, you know, like the experiences, the life experience it's after giving me. Like, even now at this age, I really feel ready for anything. Like, even going through it, you know, I'm now going through a potential loss and, it's inevitable. And that can be hard, and it's scary, especially when you've experienced it already. And now I have even more pressure to keep things together because you have a responsibility to your family.
Exactly.
But the learnings that I've learned throughout all of them years and all them experiences, like, I don't think, had I not have it went through all of that stuff, would I be as strong and able and capable as what I am now, do you know?
Definitely.
I see, like, it's brilliant that you do that sort of work, and there might only be what, 1 in 10 that it, like, what, you know?
Yeah, I know. We always say that, you'd be like, you can't save them all, but you'd be like, Jesus, if I could save 1 or 2 of them, you know, I'd be doing well. And look, there are success stories, you know, like, I bumped into a lad who works down in Tesco's, and he was like, oh, I work here full time now, Claire, and I'm doing great and all. And I was like, that's great. And he's like, are you still up there fighting a good fight, like, a little outlet? And I says, you know, someone has to do it. And he says, well, you know, it works for some of us, Claire. And my heart nearly jumped out of my chest. And I was like, that's a win for him, having a full time job. Like, he was involved in lads that, now in big trouble.
Yeah.
And now he's not. He has a full-time job.
Mm.
You know, one of our other lads who was, he was heading down an off road. Now he's doing his apprenticeship in plumbing, and he's gone up the north now to do that part of it and all. And, you know, so...
So that alone... So with all that being said, right, it's like, you take all of this from your work, you know, and you sound like you absolutely love it and you're all for it. So why did you feel the need to start a business? So you started Nancy Days.
Yeah.
Explain the business for us.
I was on maternity leave. So Nancy is the last baby. So she's 2. And when I was on maternity leave, I was like, when I was in school, actually, my business teacher used to always say, you'll own your own business someday, you know. And I was like, but I always wanted to kind of do a bit of everything, you know.
Yeah.
I'm always like, looking for the next thing to do. So, of course, what else would I be doing on maternity leave? Only looking for something else to do.
Yeah.
So we decided I'm going to set up a business, baby products. And, you know, because I was shopping for baby products constantly online, looking up different things. And I was like, oh, do you know, like, I'd like a shop now that had that and I had this, and or I could design these things because I had experience in design. So I was like, you know, I could be designing different things and whatever. So I was just ticking along, going, you know, trying little bits and bobs, making like making homemade things and designing things and getting them in. And I was just kind of pottering along. And then my cousin says to me, there's a Arnott's are doing a thing called Pitch 21. And it's, you know, you could get your business into Arnott's and all. And I was like, ah, here, it won't be me, you know what I mean? But I says, I'll throw in the application anyway. And yeah, I had to go do a pitch and all. It was like Dragon's Den. And I was thinking, oh, sure, isn't that a great experience? Isn't it great for people to see my product? And an idea, really, because I was nowhere near as far as the other business, as far along as the other businesses were. But yeah, I got into the final and I got my products into Arnott's for Christmas.
Deadly.
Yeah.
And like at this stage, you had no social media presence or anything like that. There was literally nothing.
I had like 100 followers or something. I had people like would follow me that, you know, word of mouth or whatever. Yeah. I heard you have a business. Will you get us a few bits? Will you send us a gift box or whatever?
Yeah.
So I was doing a little bit like, but I'd done nothing. Like I hadn't pushed anything at all on social media or anything.
Yeah. And that being the way of the world now, because it's so like your success, unfortunately, in today's society is nearly like judged or valued on how many followers or how much of a platform you have on social media. So you went in there
Miles behind,
you know, like not with anything at all.
Yeah.
So was that a factor in your confidence?
Oh, definitely. Like I went in the other businesses, some of them had thousands of followers, some of them had tens of thousands of followers, and they just seemed so confident and so sure about what they were doing. And like that, like this very same as going into business college when I was 19, I just felt like, what am I doing here? Like, these are, like, it's a lot of middle class people and I'm going in with my Ballymun accent going, what am I doing? Like, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. What? So stressed out. I was so stressed out for so long doing it. But,
so what kept you going in it?
I suppose, like, I don't like to fail at things. Like, if I put my mind to something, I'm like, right, I'm like, going to see it through.
Yeah.
So I just kind of kept going, trying not to think too far ahead, thinking day on day and just trying to kind of push myself. But I'm disappointed in a way because I feel like I didn't make the most of it. I should have maybe took time out of my other job to focus on it, you know, or different things like that where I could have really kind of given it 110%. But I just felt like I was on autopilot the whole time I was there.
Yeah.
I was just trying to
do everything.
Yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot to do. Now, obviously, I don't regret doing it because it was such a platform for the business. Like the support I received from family and friends going in, taking pictures of it and putting it on their Instagram and all, saying how proud they were of me for getting that far. And
sure, like even having that epiphany there about what you would have preferred yourself to do. Like, you know now what you're setting out to do with your business now. So it was a great learning experience for you in a way. Like, you know,
definitely. Yeah. Like, it's just unfortunate. Like, I do think, Jesus, if I'd have been where I am now with the business going into it, it would have been a completely different experience for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just felt like I was always playing catch up compared to the other businesses.
But that was equally because a load of different factors. You didn't prioritise that business in your many, many things to do. And obviously a little bit of imposter syndrome there as well. 100%. And getting in on your own head, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it creeps back in again. You know, like you can put all these things in place to try stay positive and keep your mindset and your own mental health in as good a shape as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and I do those things, like I go to the gym and I spend time with my family and try to spend time with my friends. You know, you try to do them things, but it's hard, and it's those doubts get back in your mind again. Mm. It's hard. You're listening to that little voice saying, "Claire, what the fuck? Like, yeah. You're just a girl from Ballymun. What are you doing in Ireland selling your products?" Like,
and now that you know, like, so next time you're going in, you're pitching your business again, or the next move that you make with this business, because I'm assuming it's still all go.
Oh yeah,
full throttle.
Yeah. So, just got to 1,000 followers there today.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
But I love that that's not the sole focus of your business. Like, you do it because you enjoy doing it. It's not about a social media platform. And I think the reason that why I wanted to bring up that point as well is because there's such emphasis on having a social media platform. You don't necessarily need it for your business to succeed.
No.
Or it doesn't, like, that doesn't rate your business.
No,
do you know, like, yes, it can help. It helps drive my business all the time.
Yeah.
It's nearly like a portfolio, you know, like word of mouth drives my business. And then if people are like, "Oh, very good, I'll have a look at it," it gives them an opportunity to have a look at the work and feel comfortable before they come in. So it's a great helping hand, but it's not the be all and end all. And it definitely wasn't for yours.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's next? Like, so how can people purchase your products, or where do you sell them? Or?
Yeah, well, I'm online, nancydees.com, nancyds.com. And I'm on Instagram, nancydeesbaby. I literally just finished up in Ireland last week. They kept me on until July. So
brilliant.
I literally finished there last week. So yeah, it's like thinking, what's the next move going to be? You know, people were saying to me, "Would you not approach different shops, different types of shops and stuff like that?" So
yeah,
you know,
and it's a gorgeous brand. The products are absolutely beautiful. But
funny enough, that's one thing that I was always confident about, was the products.
Yeah.
I was never worried about the products.
Mm.
It was just me.
It's yourself.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, and I was like, I'm not a salesperson.
Yeah.
I'm a designer.
But what's the difference between, like so many of us, like, would sit there with an idea for a brand or a product or a potential new business, and there's a huge, huge difference in having an idea and actually turning it into something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's a big leap. Like, you know, you should be really, really proud of yourself.
Yeah, it's mad because people say, "That's such an achievement." That's all anyone ever says about Aaron. It's like, "That's such an achievement."
Huge.
And I'm like, Jesus, yeah, it actually is. Like coming from just having an idea.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, I think if something clicks in your head and you're clear about that part of it, like, to me, that was the easy part. It was like, I knew what I wanted the brand to look like, everything down to the colours and the how it would be photographed and the types of products and what the products would look like and what they wouldn't look like. You know, I wouldn't just sell something because it was trendy. I had to fit in with the brand. Like,
yeah,
that was kind of the easy part. I was thinking, I was like, now that, you know, we've realised that social media is an important part of my business, I do want to set up a TikTok that would be, you know, maybe a help to people setting up a business.
Right,
because
very
there's a lot of things, like practical things, that I hadn't got a clue about.
Yeah.
And it's like, Arnott's pushed me to the next level in that regard. I would have been still picking out different colour shoes and all now. Do you know what I mean? But Arnott's pushed me in that regard, like insurance and bank accounts and, you know, those sorts of things that, you know, you don't really know until you're kind of in the thick of it.
Yeah. That's brilliant. But that's like, that's an element of your, well, you're not so 9 to 5 coming through there. Like your natural ability, or you're naturally drawn to helping others. Like, so here's a business that you've set for yourself, something that you personally wanted to do.
Yeah.
But yet now you want to transform that into helping and guiding people start their own businesses.
Yeah.
It really genuinely just comes natural to you, doesn't it?
Like, it is, I think it's just in you. Like,
yeah.
And I do feel like, I wanted to set up a business, but I also, that part, like, I wouldn't want to have a business and just be driving it just for profit. Like, I've always thought, wouldn't it be great to employ local people, say, local young people, if the business grew?
Yeah.
Or like that, help others set up a brand or whatever. You know, I'd love to be like that, or a mentor for business owners in the community. I'd love to be doing something more focused around Ballymun and business and either employment or whatever the case may be. But I think that's just in me, that I'd have to feel like I was giving something back
as
well.
Brilliant. It's funny, like, how like, the more we're talking and the more I learn about you and stuff, on my initial meeting, which as well, like I said, it was like, oh my God, you have five kids. Like, how do you cope? And it was, in fairness, yeah, it's huge that you have five kids, but you're so much more than that.
Yeah. I hate, like, the phrase, like, I've seen people put on their Instagram, like, momtrepreneur. Like, and I'm like, you're an entrepreneur who's a ma.
Yeah.
Or a mother, or whatever you want to call it. But you're an entrepreneur. Yeah.
But, like,
don't
you're a ma.
Try and dull it down. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
You're a ma, but you're a mother to those five people. Yeah. You're not a mother to, like, all the rest of us. Do you know what I mean? You're so much more than that. That's just one element of your life. Rightly, it's the most important one to you.
Of course.
But it's not, it doesn't define who you are, like,
exactly,
as a person.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, you know yourself, it's hard to get the balance sometimes as well, and the guilt sets in then, you know, am I spending enough time with my own kids? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Like, it was something funny yesterday, the kids kept saying, because they're on their holidays, they were like, will you make cupcakes with us? And I was like, yeah. And the day was getting away from me. So I went up and I bought a tray of cupcakes already made.
Right.
And then I went down, they had their sprinkles and all. I was like, right, whip up a bit of ice in there real quick.
Yeah.
Throw that on the ready-made cupcakes. And they put their sprinkles on top. They thought this was the best thing ever. But I was like,
well, I think that's the best thing ever. Because, right, like, in actual fact, you bake them cupcakes and they do nothing but moan until they're ready.
Yeah.
So, in fairness, that was a great one. You should put a TikTok up about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, sometimes you're cutting corners trying to do things, like, you know, to try be the best for everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I totally get that. I feel like that a lot of the time, like, just trying to do everything. You want to kind of achieve, like, your own individual goals, and you still want to feel like yourself, and, like, there's still that young person there just reaching. So is it just you and your husband that, like, rotate this whole orchestra? Or do you have other family support? So?
Well, pretty much. Well, the way we kind of do it in our house is everybody has a job. And I'm lucky enough, Aaron is 22. And then we've a 13-year-old Nathan, and then we've the smaller ones. So Shay, Molly and Nancy, and they're 6, 4 and 2.
Right.
So the two older ones have plenty of little jobs that they have to do. But I suppose in regards to juggling work and stuff like that, I wish I was lucky enough to be able to say I have my mum to help me. But unfortunately, she died of cancer in 2015. Mm. Now, we do have extended family that will help out in times that, you know, when you're, something comes up, a hospital appointment or whatever. Of course, they're always offering. But I don't have that regular support that I would have had when my mum was alive.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you could say, well, at least my mum has them Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
So you lost your mum, your dad and your brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're bleeding deadly. I have to say, you know, honestly. Like, the amount of times that I've sat and felt a bit sorry with myself about my own losses. Like, when I sit here and talk to you now, like, deadly.
Well, look, the thing, I was thinking about this because I was like, I didn't know whether to talk much about loss in this. But the thing I think with losses is, like, what I think, it has shaped me personally. So you can see it. The core reason I got into youth work would have been because of my brother.
Yeah.
You know, I'd had no experience with that type of life if it wasn't for my brother.
Yeah.
You know, so the losses, they do shape who you become, like, but you can't let them define you or, you know, take over.
Yeah.
Because they can, you know, they can tear you apart.
It can be, when you lose, like, parents or, you know, motherly figures or maternal figures, it's the shift in your role, I find. Like, I'm at a stage now where my role is now shifted. Like, I still have my ma, luckily. And she's a great help and great support. But we don't have a typical motherly, daughterly. We're very sisterly, like, we're very friends. And we do have a motherly, daughterly bond as well. We've a bit of everything. But I am the mammy, in a way, you know. And I'm kind of like, since my nanny has gone, my role is changed. You know, I'm now like the mam, and I kind of look after everybody and stuff.
Yeah.
So it can be the shift of the role, I find, a little bit, like, you have to accept that you're not the baby anymore, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to grow up now.
Yeah.
You know, that can be.
Yeah. Like, I find my ma's brothers and sisters, they look at me like, one of their sisters now.
Yeah.
That's the way they treat me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And in a way, it's kind of sad, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, because, like, you could... Sometimes you just need a bit of console and, like, you know, you might just need a little hug as old as you get or things are getting, you know?
Yeah.
So I would love to ring me nanny and say, I'm not going to believe it.
Yeah.
You know, like, but I suppose, yeah, like you said, you just have to kind of, like... like, I do believe, I'm very open. I've spoken on the podcasts about knowing that people are around you, that I'd be very spiritual and things like that. So I definitely feel like that they're there and they're helping and guiding you and stuff. And I think the rearing in itself has set me up in any way for my life and my responsibilities, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you, but my nanny schooled me. It was nearly, like, borderline brainwashing. Now, you know I won't be here forever. Mind your man. You know, like, I was literally, yeah, I swear to God, yeah. And the voice still resonates in my head all the time. So that in itself is like, it's like support from beyond. Yeah.
Well, what I always think is that, like, I was lucky to have my mum for as long. Like, I've girls in the project, for example, who their mum died when they were younger.
Yeah.
And I always think, like, little things. So say I'd be going around once and I'd open the tray of eggs to make sure none of the eggs are broke.
Yeah.
And, like, they're the things that your ma tells you. You know,
yeah.
You know, when you're in the supermarket,
yeah,
make sure you check
the time,
their eggs.
No one told me that. I just got stung with them. You know, when you get home, you're like, box.
Well, my mum would have told me that, or she would have, there's all these little things that she would have said when you're putting on tights. And now that's something I forgot until I had two little girls.
Right.
To put your finger all the way to the toe.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
And then, like,
and then
just scoop
it up.
Yeah.
And, like, those little things, like, or I do think I'm lucky that I got that time with my mum. Like, you know, where there's kids, I do think, oh, who tells them these things? Like, one of our girls in the project had a baby. And she was ringing me, asking me, what do I do with this? And what do I... And I was like, she's no mammy to tell her.
Yeah.
To help her. Like, I remember bringing Aaron home and, you know, me mad, you know, winning them like this and with the trauma up in their shoulder and, you know, all the little things. I'm like, at least I got that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I got that time.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, well, that's...
It's survival.
It must be.
Yeah.
I think it's growing up in a working class community, you just learn survival tactics, isn't it?
Like, yeah, you do. But what do you really hope people take from this conversation today?
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, I always think, and it's something that I'm always trying to focus on with my own kids and with the kids I work with in the project. It's just, like, trying to always push yourself forward, trying to always have that confidence, trying to, you know, be, you know, without sound cheesy, the best version of yourself or whatever the case may be. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than looking at that child, as I said, that had all these hopes and dreams and then they just, whatever, think life gets in their way.
Yeah.
So don't let life get in your way.
Yeah.
Just go out there and grab it by the balls because nobody, you know, no one's going to, nobody's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
You know, and surround yourself with people who will support that. Like, that's so important. Like, you know, my partner, John, like, we support each other like that. We're very kind of driven in that way.
Yeah.
And you need that. And the friends I have around me will be like that. And the family
I
have.
Though, how would you advise people? Like, so I know exactly what you mean by having the right people around you. But, like, especially young people, like, how do they know? Or any people of any age, how do you know who is good for you or not?
Well, I've noticed over the past few years in particular, I started to kind of move away from people who are negative. You know, I don't like people who pass comment on people's appearance or different things like that. You know, I've moved away from that as the years have gone on. So people who are like that, who are very kind of past remarkable, as my ma would say.
Yeah.
You know, they're too much commenting on people's weight or what they look like.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't do that anymore. It's obviously something you used to fall into when you were younger, but that's not what I'm about. So I don't like people to be around me that because you can feel it draining your energy.
That's exactly it. It's the feeling that people leave with you, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So
and that negative.
Yeah.
You know, if people are negative around you all the time, then you nearly feel you're starting to be negative and you're giving out about things that you don't need to give out about.
Yeah.
You know, life's too short to be spending your life giving out and moaning about things.
So it's really just assess how you're feeling when you're around them in the conversation, or especially when you just have left them. It's how people leave you.
Definitely.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
like, you
I
know,
think
I know
that, yeah.
I have a very small group of friends, but it's definitely quality over quantity for me. Like 100%. Every time I leave any one of them, I feel revived, refreshed, better. Exactly.
That's 100%. Like, I'd be the same. I keep my circle small these days.
Mm.
And like the friends that I'm with, like my two best friends, we were at Diana Ross there 2 weeks ago. And like all we did was laugh and smile. And, you know, and that's all we went to Bilbao there a couple of months ago. And that's all we did the whole weekend. Was just everything was just, you felt better from
it. Yeah, and it's
light. Yeah.
You know, like, because I think in this podcast, we're after covering a lot of heavy stuff, you know, which come whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
But so at least what you do have control over is who you spend your time with.
Exactly.
So the lighter,
and it's
the better.
Definitely that, the walking away, it's what you feel.
Yeah.
Have you got that feeling in your stomach?
Yeah. Or do you even feel good after it? Like, you know, you definitely should feel great after being around the right people.
Yeah.
You should live buzzed up.
Yeah.
I think.
Like sometimes, like I would have been around people years ago where they're so negative that they wind me up and they like impact how I was reacting to situations then.
So you can nearly see your body language kind of just tightens.
Even in your relationship and all, like to be saying, giving out about different things that was really none of their business.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then that's affecting how I then, that would have affected how I would have reacted to situations, and I can't be around that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've enough going on.
Yeah.
I just need to be around people that make me feel better. And hopefully I make them feel better.
Yeah, well, you definitely made me feel better today. I'm telling you, it was brilliant. And I knew this chat was going to be good. I knew people would take a lot from you. But I really only tipped the surface with you when I met you a couple of times in the shop.
Yeah.
Like chatting to you today, honestly, just delighted that you came. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thanks.
Now, before we finish up, have you got any mantra?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it. My nana, she, of course, she has all these little sayings that nanas say.
Yeah.
But the main thing I'm always telling people about my nana is that she knows how to look after herself. And that's one thing that I take from her.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, my God. Like, she's ridiculous. She never washes her own hair. She goes to the hairdressers on a Wednesday and a Saturday.
Right.
The hairdresser does her hair. She puts tan on the ends of her legs because she wears 3/4 bombs. She gets her eyelashes and her eyebrows.
Just cut in the corner.
Oh, yeah, just cut in the corner. That must be where I learned it. She gets her eyebrows and her eyelashes tinted.
Right.
She's actually asking me about Revitalash. She wants to grow her own eyelashes.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my point with me nana. She knows how to look after herself and she always does it, no matter what. She's only on her pension now, but that's no matter what, she will always look after herself. And that's one thing I've learned, is you have to look after yourself.
Well, see, that's the sole purpose of the nanny mantras, because that era of women, they were doing self-care before it was even a thing.
This is it.
You know, like, definitely. Yeah. We can all take a little bit of that, taking a bit of time of yourself.
Definitely.
Getting your eyebrows and your eyelashes tinted at a beauty salon.
Yeah, of course.
Now, going through stuff, you can look a little bit drained.
Oh,
I have an LVL kit in my bag that I'm trying to lift my lashes the last God knows how many days. So I'm literally throwing you out. So I can do it. Watch Love Island.
Yeah.
Come here. Thanks a million.
No worries.
I will be here again soon, if you're nosy enough.
Do you think you can handle it? Do you think you could? Do you think you could handle it? Do you think you could?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.